Well, good morning, everybody. So nice to see you all here again today. We're preparing for Christmas, you know, and it's not a bang. We don't start with the bang. We start just by introducing the theme to warm you up for it. And next week, as we get closer, you're going to see more Christmas carols and songs. And on Christmas Eve, we're going to have a special service here, and we're just going to be singing Christmas songs by candlelight. And invite your friends, because it should be a very beautiful, beautiful time. It'll be Christmas Eve at 5 p.m. Anyway, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
I love hearing your good morning. It inspires me when I hear you guys participate, even just a little bit. So thank you very much for that. But as we introduced this morning our International Mission Board through that little video you saw there, I'm curious to ask you this morning, have you ever really met a real-life missionary? Yes. Just out of curiosity. You have? Good, good. That's, a lot of people never have. They've been in church their whole life, and they've never really actually shook hands with a real-life missionary. Someone that puts their life on the line for the purposes of the gospel. Maybe traveling with their family to the far reaches of the world in order to make a difference for Christ. I remember one time I was on a plane going over to India or China, I forget which one, and my seat was towards the back, but way at the farthest end of that big old 747 or DC-10 or whatever it was, all across the whole back side of it was one family. They had like seven seats in the middle and two on the sides. One family, and I went up to them, I said, "You're a missionary, aren't you?" And they said, "Yes, how'd you know?" Well, the fact that they was taking their whole family, even the little babies, over to India is probably a pretty good indicator. Yes, they were going to India. They're putting their whole lives on hold here in the States in order to take up the cross and present it to other people. I've had the privilege of knowing and working alongside many missionaries around the world, and I'm here to tell you that some amazing and dedicated servants they are. My heart yearns for them, and I pray that yours does too. Today we're going to see now in Scripture the challenges and the toils that some face as they endeavor to declare Jesus Christ the Lord to the people at large around the world. Going out and spreading the gospel to the world at large can be an exciting and rewarding endeavor for sure, but it can also be riddled, though, with risk, as we're going to see, persecution and challenge. And I think today God wants us to become more aware of and be more sensitive to some of the challenges that are being an evangelical disciple and or missionary might entail with his words here today. I love how God knits all this together. I get a scripture verse, and then I was talking to Jeremiah earlier today. And then, oh, by the way, it's International Mission Day for Southern Baptists. Oh, and by the way, all these things come together to present an opportunity to present gospel according to the Holy Spirit, how he inspires this verse to be read. You can take many of these verses in several different ways, but I love seeing how the Holy Spirit molds the service and the sermon that we have for you here today. So please turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Mark 6, chapter 14. Everybody hold up the Bible. Let me see your Bible. Mark 6, oh, I love it. Mark 6, and we're going to start at chapter 14. In Pew Bibles, it's page 892 of what's called the God's inspired and his infallible and his living word. But let's start with prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the sentiment of Christmas now lingering in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for how you brought together this service today with the many people that make it happen. We thank you, Lord, for the atmosphere that we have in this church that points towards you and your coming to us as a man-child born as a baby in Bethlehem. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. Be with us now as we continue in your word. In your precious name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Amen. So last we deliberated, not last week because we had a special guest, but the week before on this book of Mark, we saw how Jesus had sent out his apostles two by two into the city to proclaim the gospel and good news of Jesus Christ's salvation that he offered. They went out six pairs of poor, ordinary, untrained, and the most unlikely spokesmen, if you will, and God, what God was doing through them, rose to the attention then of the highest officials of the land. They were starting to proclaim Jesus Christ, and it was starting to cause a commotion, and people were starting to take notice. Through their small and simple ministry, Jesus' name became known in the city now and beyond. In verse 14, it starts us off here. It says, King Herod heard about it, it being the disciple missionaries and the gospel that was presented, because Jesus' name had become well known. Some said John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that's why miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said he is Elijah. Still others says he's a prophet, like one of the prophets from long ago. Okay, pause there. It says, to give you a little backstory on what you just read here, John the Baptist and Jesus, you know, if you recall, they're actually second cousins. Remember when the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, and then later on it says, go to your cousin Elizabeth, and she's also with child, and she went to go see him. And as they approached the baby inside Elizabeth's belly, John leaped with joy. They knew that the spirit of Jesus was felt by that baby John in the belly of Elizabeth. Wow, that's so beautiful. But they were second cousins. Mary and Elizabeth, according to Scripture, though, were first cousins. John and Jesus were about the same age. They were pregnant at the same time. And probably they even probably looked similar, I might imagine. John was considered by many people to be a prophet now, who was living in the spirit of Elijah, the spirit of Elijah. John and Elijah had many similarities. Elijah's a character, Old Testament prophet of old. They both were known for being rough-looking kind of in character, wearing camel hair clothing. I got to admit, that's got to itch, camel hair clothing. I don't know. But and eating honey and locusts. By the way, as an aside, Adeline's friends came and spent the night with her last night because they went to homecoming together, a young lady, and her father's a pastor out in Walnut. And they actually have in front of their church a live manger scene with cows, people, and a camel, a real camel. The pastor there owns camel. I'm not about to get a camel. Let me be here to tell you. But that's got to be something to see. And they have some Quakers that come up, I believe it's Quakers, and they sing the Christmas hymns as they got the camel right there in front, sheep. I want to go see it myself. It sounds intriguing. Maybe we can do that here someday. Who wants to volunteer to bring the camel? Anybody? Just thinking. Anyway, that's an aside. But the prophet Elijah was one of only a few people in the Bible that we know of that was actually physically taken up to heaven while they were still alive. I want to be the next one. That's me. Then, according to the Old Testament prophecy in Malachi 3 and 4, Elijah was supposed to then come back and prepare a way for the Lord, it says, just like we know John the Baptist was doing. Therefore, many people, when they saw John the Baptist and Jesus, And all that they were doing, they were trying to figure them out according to Scripture, who was who in this regard. Were they Elijah or the Messiah Savior or somebody else? This is the issue that the King Herod was now chewing on in these verses. Who is this Jesus? Now, verse 16 continues. It says, when Herod heard of it, he said, John, the one I beheaded, has been raised? For Herod himself had given orders to arrest John and to chain him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother's Philip's wife, because he had married her. John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias held a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, John the Baptist. But she could not, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard him, he would be very perplexed at his stories, I'll add, and yet he liked to listen to him. Now, we don't know exactly how long John the Baptist was held in prison. However, Herod kept John for a while, it seems, and he was effectively entertained by John's conversations. But John boldly told the king the error of his ways. In this case, King Herod was living with Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, and John the Baptist let him know that by doing so, he was living in sin. We was talking about in Sunday school today how some people will tell us the truth and we don't want to accept the truth, or we're not ready to accept the truth. Sometimes the truth is hard to hear. Now, King knew that John was probably right in what he was saying here, so he didn't want to kill him. But that's another story for his wife and his daughter-in-law. Kings are not normally called out by other people, though, as you might imagine. And Herod's wife was furious with John and was looking for a way to rid the kingdom of him and his influence. And that's when we get to the next verses here. Verse 21. It says, an opportune time came on his birthday when Herod gave a banquet for his nobles, military commanders, and the leading men of Galilee. When Herodias, his own daughter, came and danced, she pleased Herod and the guests. The king said to the girl, ask me whatever you want and I will give it to you. You can almost see them leaning back on their big carpets and, you know, smoking the hookah pipe or something like that as they are entertained by this young lady. He promised her, verse 23, he promised her with an oath, whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? John the Baptist's head, she said. At once she hurried to the king and said, I want you to give me John the Baptist's head on a platter immediately. Although the king was deeply distressed because of his oaths and the guests that he did not want to refuse her, the king immediately set for an executioner and commanded him to bring John's head. So he went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When John's disciples heard about it, they came and removed his corpse and placed it in a tomb. So sad a circumstance. Like the missionaries we have today, many of those will also be persecuted. Some of them will be persecuted to death. Although this ends the account of John's death in the book of Mark, the book of Matthew has a few extra small details about what happened next. Matthew 14:12 continues, it says, John's disciples came and took his bodies and buried it. And they went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Such a sad ending to a wonderful, martyred man now of our faith. The title of this message today, The Voice of Martyrs. The Voice of Martyrs. The word martyr, according to Merriam-Webster, means a person who voluntarily suffers death as a penalty for witnessing refusing to renounce their religion. Or another description is a person who sacrifices something of great value, like their life itself, for the sake of a principle. And that is exactly what we see John the Baptist did for Christ and us. He gave his life for the cause of Christ. John was blessed to be the one who prepared the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. People would come from far away to the wilderness where John lived there to hear him teaching and then to get baptized. Jesus himself was baptized later by John the Baptist. John is known to be a very, though, direct person, in your face kind of prophet. And as we see here, his final demise, that confronting the mode that they did with the king and the king's wife, eventually led now to his death. In our New Testament scripture is written a few accounts of John the Baptist. So I thought it would be neat and a good reflection about John the Baptist if we read a few of those to get a better feel of who this character was. So turn with me now to Matthew 3. Matthew 3. And we'll read along this scripture together. Matthew 3, start in verse 1. It says, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and honey. When Jerusalem and all Judea and all of the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming out to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Here he's talking about the Israeli people, the Jewish people, the righteous ones. 11 says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so. For this it is fitting for us to fulfill in all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove, coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, from whom I am well pleased. Later in Scripture, John the Baptist also is mentioned in Matthew 11, if you want to turn there. Matthew 11, starting at verse 2. It says, now when John heard in prison later about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. This is Jesus' testimony about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are kings, are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare the way before you. Verse 11, truly I say to you, amongst those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent taken it by force. For all the prophets and the laws of the prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. Who has ears to hear, let them hear. Verse 16. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their playmates. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he was a demon? The Son of Man came eating and drinking, And they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of the tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by their deeds. That's Jesus' story, testimony, witness about who this John the Baptist is that was just murdered by the king. Wisdom is justified indeed by her deeds. What a great piece of his story about John the Baptist. Finally, my favorite verse quote, though, is from John 3:30. He said, he must increase. This is John speaking now. He must increase, and I must decrease. He must increase, and I must decrease. That makes me a humble man. Jesus lived a most righteous life, and John lived a life that we all should emulate better. Yet both he and Jesus were martyred as a result of their faith and courage, and we now honor them here today. John was the greatest prophet, evangelist, and missionary that ever lived. And Jesus asks now, through his great commandment and great commission, that all of his followers give their life for the cause of faith as well. God doesn't want you to be a casual observer of his work. He wants you to be a participant. That's why Jesus gave us that great commission to go out and make a difference, reach the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's what we need to be doing. That's what missionaries do. We talked earlier about these SBC missionaries at the start of our service today. Those missionaries are putting their lives now on the front line for Christ, just like John the Baptist did some 2,000 years ago. Nationally and internationally, I'm proud to say that the Southern Baptist Convention has more than 5,000 missionaries currently in the field, spreading the good news gospel to the world, like the one we saw on the video just a few minutes ago. Not in the most habitual of places, I would say. They gave it up so they might have the opportunity to speak to those on the other ends of the world. I would argue that we need to be more intentional about our support for these missionaries. They are carrying out the Great Commission to the ends of the earth on our behalf. My prayer is that maybe one day one of you will choose to be a missionary for a period of time. That is my prayer. It's not going to be an easy chore. It's a chore with risk. And for the parents out there, you could gear yourself up for that call. One day your child will be wanting to go to some place in danger, putting himself on the risk, on the line, for the sake of the gospel. Will you be supportive in that endeavor? We just finished Thanksgiving, and now we're heading into Christmas week, where we highly emphasize now what Jesus did for us. We now know that God, because he came to us in the flesh, as a babe in the manger. We can now know God because he lived a life of righteousness and sacrifice on our account. And we now have written testimony in our Bibles how wonderful he is that he gave his life for me. And John the Baptist paved the way so Jesus could do just that. I'm thankful for John the Baptist. I'm thankful for, of course, what Jesus Christ also did for me on the cross. But I'm also thankful for those who are putting themselves in harm's way to spread the gospel. We're going to close here today with another song from Jason. But as he sings this song, we're going to pass around the offering tray one more time, Tim. This money collected here will be going to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering that we mentioned earlier for our international missionaries. Those Christians who choose to spend their lives like John the Baptist, putting themselves and their families at risk for the purpose of the Gospels to the nation. May God be with you and be with them as we continue our service here today. And I thank you for all being attentive and going through your Bibles. Nothing pleases me more than to hear those Bible pages a-turning. Keep it up, ladies and gentlemen, because that's how you, as a Christian, will be fed. I'm so thankful for you all. Now we'll listen to Jason, and thank you, Tim, for passing that around.
This is Amazing Grace. I'm sorry, Away Manger.
Away.
Page 112, you want to sing a little bit.
A river bed.
Please rise.
A little.
God bless y'all.